I just took a nice shit. I've been drinking too much coffee at night, which is a bad habit of mine, which I picked up from the last 4 years of working, 4 or 5 years of working like warehouse, late night warehouse work, and then moving on to like kitchen portering, which is like dish pit. Like, basically, I tell people all the time, I'm a professional ceramics and steel cleaner, purifier, and distributor. They ask me, Jin, what the fuck does that mean? I say, I'm just a dishwasher. I bring plates to people. You know, when the chefs say, oh, give me pans, I bring the pans. I'm a distributor. I'm a professional, I tell people. I'm a professional ceramics dealer. You just come to me and ask me, you tell me the dimensions, the weight, the size, I'll give you everything. But working these jobs has developed a bad habit of mine, which is like when you finish late, man, sometimes you start from like 3 p.m. and you don't finish till like 12 a.m., 1 a.m. and you're like the last one out, man, because you got to deal with the waste and all that shit. So it's developed a bad habit in me, you know, and this bad habit of drinking coffee and probably like eating at night. Yeah, I gotta stop this shit, man. And I know you gotta stop this shit too. You ever sleep, man, and then at the middle of the night, you cut a fucking loud hot fart, man, but it's not a wet one, it's one of them hot ones, you know? You ever cut like a hot fart and you know, I used you know, when I used to back in my when I was privileged enough to travel around and do my dick slinging. I call it dick slinging from my traveling days when I used to sleep with girls and shit. So embarrassing, man. Fucking nice to cut farts like at the middle of the night, man, after our jiggy jiggy session. You know, that would be like a major turn down. The fuck this Chinese guy just cut a fart after our session. It's like worse than a queef, you know? Anyway. But this bad habit stems from, and it all comes back to like how you were raised, man. You know what I mean? It all comes back to living that insomniac life, that nocturnal life as a kid. And I just wanted to share with myself the story, my earliest memories. Traveling around England and Hong Kong and Taiwan and China with my father from the age of 5. Probably I mentioned this before, but I was born with a heart defect. It's called ventricular septal defect, Sam Lao Bang. You know, it means there's a, I was born with a hole in my heart. And my earliest memories was being wheeled on a hospital bed with my father. And thinking about now, must have been in his early 30s. He said to me, "A zai, m'sai gam, m'sai dam sam, le wu mo si, m'sai dam sam. My son, don't be afraid. You're gonna be all right. Aba hei dou, aba tai ju. Daddy's here. Papa's here. Papa will look after you. Aba hei dou, m'sai gam. Papa's here. Don't be afraid." That's all he would say. I was on this hospital bed, being wheeled into without myself knowing for the second or third operation in my life that I've already had. And it made me wonder just how many times was I cut open on that fucked up hospital bed. And so in tracing back my origins, I was born 2nd April 1990. Aries, zodiac horse, fire sign. At 3 a.m. in the morning, GMT. Didn't discover my ventricular septal defect condition until quite late, probably like 3 months into my birth. I could not put on weight. I didn't sleep. I was sweating all the time. I didn't cry, but my breathing was labored as a baby. And you know, Chinese people, man, you know, Chinese parents, they just try to make you fat. Because in the Chinese culture, they believe fat people are fortunate. Yeah, you think so? Okay. Yeah. So they tried to stuff your boy Jin with fucking baby milk. Jin wasn't having it, man. Jin was like, man, I'm in pain here. My heart, man, there's something missing. I'm fucked up. In baby language. Yeah. So they took me to the doctors, to the GP, and the general practitioner, is that what it's called? Yeah, Dr. Sitam, he was a fucking prick, man. Yeah, he was so strict, man. Anyway, and they found out that I needed immediate surgery, otherwise I would die. This is in like probably say June, July, August of 1990. And my father told me this. He goes, Jin, around July, August times 1990, we had to take you to emergency hospital during some time past midnight because you just couldn't breathe. You were choking on nothing. Imagine that, choking on nothing. That's some fucked up shit right there. At the same time, there were two other babies around the same age as me, like 4 months, 5 months old, with the same condition, who got whisked into emergency operation at the same night as me. So there were three families, a Chinese family, which is my family, and a black family, like a black Jamaican family, and I guess like an English family, because back then in the 1990s, all you had were Chinese people, black people, some Indian people, you know, like brown peoples. Yeah, I'm gonna call you up by the color of your skin, man. That's how we say things around here, you know? And white people, you know? And I can only imagine what all the parents in that situation, what were they thinking? What went through their minds? My father and mother recently moved to England, and I'm saying this in the context of this memory. They moved to England probably in the mid 80s from Hong Kong, from New Territories, Hong Kong, because they wanted to get away from my grandfather, who he was a, I hate to say it, man. I hate to say it. He was a triad boss in old Hong Kong, you know. Killed a white cop in his own home, you know. That story's for a later time. So they, a young couple, wanted to run away from the tyrant grandfather. So to start a new life in England, you know, not knowing a lick of English, but with all the possibilities of the English life at hand and the medical services that saved my life back then, with the honest doctors and the honest practitioners, I am grateful. And they told me, son, you are the only one that survived. The two other babies, they didn't make it. And I often think about this on my downtime, my quiet time. I think about the two babies that I never got to meet. I thought about the mom and dads of those babies. And when the doctors and nurses came out from the emergency operation, everyone was looking at the doctor. How's my child? How's my child? Only to hear, I'm sorry, only one survived. It was me. And for that story, I have the ugliest scar on my chest. Probably 9 inch. And it hums in pain sometimes. And when I work, I often still feel the stitches. I refuse to use the mesh technologies to fill up the hole in my heart. Because I always say to the girls, listen, man, I was born flawed. I was born with a hole in my heart. Only your love can fill. Boom, bang, cold X. Oh, shit. Yeah, you're laughing now. Try it, man. If you listen, if you even if you ain't got a hole, nowhere. I mean, all of us got holes. But even if you ain't got a hole in your heart, man, you start walking around saying, hey, man, oh, my heart's in pain. Start reciting some Shakespeare or some shit. Fucking something like Sonnet 18 or something. Thy temp, that May poem. Whatever. I'm going off topic. And these are the reminders of my life. And I often think about these things because there are many, many, many people out there stronger, more intelligent, emotionally mature, gifted, lovable than me. But here I am, man. Here I am. Why me? I've been asking this question 35 years of my life. And I'm very happy to say I still don't know. And that's okay. People often say to me, I'm not important. I'm no one special. I'm just a guy like you trying to put the pieces together. I'm boring. I don't want to share my I don't have anything to share. I know you don't mean that. I know you don't mean that. Because in my journey, I thought the same. What is it about the fire? So calm and peaceful. Filled with power and inherent destruction on the inside. Fire. It hides things just like people do. Sometimes, in order to see the truth, we must get close. Sometimes, in order to feel the truth, we have to get burnt. We have to get burnt.